This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ruthless Aggression is back. We are 10 days away from the Royal Rumble. I mean, by the time you hear this, it'll be 9 days away from the Royal Rumble. Pierce, along with Chris and Rob. I see, the fucked up thing is, like, I get so tired of my workday, I already forget rundowns. And, you know, Royal Rumble's right around the corner, which means only one thing. WrestleMania is right around the corner. I know a year ago we were all excited trying to come up with plans for Tampa, and then that got shit canned. We finally learned what the plans were, not only for this year's WrestleMania, but for the next upcoming WrestleManias. So it will not be held in LA this year. That's been moved back to 2023. They will be in Tampa at the Raymond James Stadium for 2 nights. I believe it's March 10th and 11th. And then next year, they will go back to one night a year, presumably when the vaccine is widespread and, you know, everybody's kind of good. We'll go back to doing the whole weekend, I assume, with TakeOver. And then WrestleMania next year, 2022, will be in Dallas at Jerry World, which I thought was understandable as the next place to go, because California is going to take a minute to get open. I know I'm ready for WrestleMania to be at the Death Star here in Vegas, but doesn't look like it's going to be coming to Vegas anytime soon. Maybe after LA, probably, but we'll have to see. But as I just said, Tampa this April for 2 nights, Dallas next year, 2022, Hollywood, LA, 2023. What do you guys think of the WrestleMania plans?
I mean, I like it quite a bit. You know, doing Tampa solid, and, you know, makes sense to move LA another year out. And, you know, I think Dallas, it's a good venue for WrestleMania. You know, you get a lot of people in there. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere compared to actual Dallas itself, but, you know, what are you going to do? But no, I mean, no real surprises. I think, you know, Atlanta and probably Vegas are next up after this round.
That's
but
right.
I
they haven't gone to Atlanta's new stadium.
Yeah. No, and I kind of like
they haven't
them,
gone to Sun Life since Sun Life got renovated.
Yeah, yeah.
Also true.
So, no, I kind of like them kind of doing the NCAA tournament Final
Super Bowl
thing,
style.
Super
thing.
Bowl, you know, announce 3 or 4 sites in advance.
Yeah.
It was cool. I like that. And I think the video was pretty good. I most people didn't have any, you know, strong opinions on the video. Some people were like, oh, this isn't funny, which it was.
Okay, well.
The John Cena part.
Okay, the John Cena part was funny. Everything else wasn't, like, it was meant to be corny. Like,
yeah.
when you know something's meant to be corny, who cares if it's funny or not? But yeah, Hugh Can't See Me was fucking hilarious. I love John Cena. I miss you, John, so much. Come back very soon. I think this will definitely upset the crowd that really wants a Midwest WrestleMania, but tough shit, okay? WrestleMania's not going to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota for a while. You wonder why? Because Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's not hard to get to Dallas from the Midwest.
No, it's really not.
It's not a bad drive, and they got a gigantic airport with, like, 6 million flights
a day. And a Whataburger.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like, you know, I don't, is Tampa even that hard to get to? Not really.
I think Tampa's got a small airport.
Yeah, Tampa's got a small airport, but like,
Florida,
I mean, it's
so like Florida has a shit ton of hubs.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a ton of hubs you can go. You can go into Orlando and you can make the 2 hour drive out west or whatever. LA is obviously easy to get to. Dallas is easily navigatable or whatever. This all makes sense. This is all fine. You know, I would probably hope that they don't hit up Dallas too often again, because that'll be two times in 6 or 7 years that they'll be there. And I know
they have a good relationship with Jerry.
They do. At least they obviously Charlotte do. Jones. Yeah, they obviously do.
And you know, it's a building where you can get 100,000 people.
I understand that obviously, but it, you know, you can afford to spread the wealth a little bit down in the South. They don't need to go to New Orleans anytime soon, even though it's obviously a great place.
Hold on, sir. You're just saying. I know you're just saying, but let's not get too hasty here and say that they should probably not go back to New Orleans and WrestleMania anytime soon. Okay, New Orleans is a wonderful site for WrestleMania.
This is fair. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, New Orleans kind of does it the best. I mean,
it is,
you know,
a
New
goddamn
York was too
time
spread out. Dallas is going to be too spread out. I think LA is going to be too spread out.
LA is going to be fine. It's going to be in like, there's going to be like three.
LA is going to be annoying like New York, but whatever.
Yeah, LA, the only problem is going to be the traffic, but you have to accept that in the first place.
Listen,
they're going
to
have
the trade off for having to be stuck in LA traffic. I get to be out in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
that's all the fuck I need.
And honestly, like the Raw and SmackDown and the Takeover is going to be at Staples Center. You go to Inglewood for SoFi, and for indie shows, okay, you go to whatever venue that they have the PWG shit at. And honestly,
that doesn't exist anymore.
They have the new one. But I'm not trying to downplay indie wrestling. It's obviously great, but like by 2023, how's it really going to look?
Well, that's true too.
How is it really going to look?
I think it's going to be fine. I think there might be a little bit of overreaction because smaller promotions are going to be hit the hardest. But I think like you'll still have your Progress fall through if Progress feels like doing a U.S. tour for Mania. They did in 2019, but they were there 2018. I assume that they would be. I think they were planning on being. Yeah, they were planning on being back for 2020. You know, you'll still have your local shit in California. I would assume, I haven't heard anything bad about Future Stars Wrestling out here, so that's close enough to just make the drive. You know, I think there'll still be a presence. Now, as it was previously, it really just depends on A, demand, and then B, how much are guys really trying to work. And my guess is, for a year off, guys are really trying to work. So,
well, yeah.
Maybe.
And I mean, also, you know, with the independent stuff, you know, you're going to have the same 5 or 6 AEW guys that are willing to work, you know, 7 different shows that are automatically a draw.
You'll get some Impact guys on the show, you know, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the independent stuff will still be there. I don't think that bubble has burst quite yet.
No, not yet.
But no, it all in all, though, I mean, I like it. I think
would just like to point out that this is probably, you know, maybe an unfair year to judge this, because I don't know how many fans are actually going to show up to Mania in April.
Yeah, they don't.
I don't know, you know, what it's going to look like. But it is important to note that they are doing two nights for Mania at the same stadium. If that runs pretty decently, I think that there is a possibility that it can be something that they look to do in the future. I know that they just announced one day for those buildings in LA and Dallas, but they could flip that to two and not even regret it.
I think could, but I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this year pans out. And I think this year will wind up being a litmus test for if they can do it moving forward. Because, you know, this upcoming year is only because of COVID. It makes no fucking sense to even do, you know, an indoor NXT show. So let's just have two nights of WrestleMania. Now, if that works, we'll see. I just don't know yet. And I'm the one that's been the biggest proponent to just fucking make it 2 days. But, you know, we'll have to see.
And I think next year can be one day. I think Dallas can be one day because it's going to be, for a lot of people that go, it's going to be the first big thing they do, you know, after all this. They're not going to care that it's, you know, 7 hours. They're just going to be happy to be back. I think that's something we're going to see in general with fans the first 3 or 4 months that fans are back, where the crowds are going to be good. People are going to be happy to be there. And you can pretty much get away with whatever.
And, I agree. And it's 100,000 seat capacity thing. I mean, obviously, it's going to be like 92, but I don't know if they're going to fill 92,000 for 2 days in a row.
Yeah. My response to that would be that it's WrestleMania. They get people from all over to come. It won't be that hard. They can sell 2 day bundles. You think they would love to lock people in for 2 nights in the same seat? And people would also like that too, because they don't want to move around. And I will say also, with regards to this whole thing, their hand was forced last year with the 2 night thing. Yeah. So they kind of had to throw things together. This time, we're not even at the Rumble. We know that this is going to be 2 nights, 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
They have the opportunity to fully build up 2 nights worth of good cards.
Well, it's going
to
be interesting to see how they do the tickets this year, I think.
I think, like I said, they're going to sell individuals, then they're also going to do the 2 night bundles.
Yeah.
I can very easily see them.
I don't even know why you would sell individuals at this point. Just sell it as a package. To me, it's so hard because it's like you're inviting people that may have, you don't know. I'm sorry, but it's just so fucking hard, like with how everything is right now, just assess even the selling of tickets for shit, right? Because they're doing the they're doing the bundles for football games. I think it was like you had to buy like at least two to go. It's so fucking hard to even comprehend at this point. They gotta have more effort though.
No, I think if you're willing to go to WrestleMania this year, they might as well just only do 2 night bundles, because anyone willing to go one night is gonna go both nights. You know, next year, if you're gonna sell, you know, 100,000 seats, maybe you make half of them 2 nights and the other half. But I don't get why someone would just go one night.
That's the other thing. Like, why would you go for just one night? I guess to see their favorites and get out.
Like, I can understand, honestly, if you just want to go for Saturday and like, hey, I gotta go, peace out on Sunday, go be with the fam and go be at work. I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, to be fair, I know I just said, oh, who wants, you know, they can see their favorites and then leave. It's WrestleMania. Who honestly goes to WrestleMania just to see their
favorites? Yeah, some people not gonna give a shit.
You go there because it's the event. Yeah. Because it's the thrill of it. It's like, yeah, there's segments of people who want to see their favorites wrestle and whatnot, but like,
it'd be like Lollapalooza, man. If I go on one night, well, I mean, technically you go to see your favorites in Lollapalooza, but you know, that's kind of the contrast of what you're saying. But like, okay, if I go one day and don't go to the fucking rest of the festival, who gives a shit? I got got to enjoy my one day, see the folks I want to see, and then boom.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's going to be real interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble. Adam Pearce is not in that match. It is actually Kevin Owens. Feel like we all knew that was going to happen. Now, we all know what else is going to happen. That's Kevin Owens ain't walking out of Royal Rumble with that Universal Championship. So it'd be pretty fucking stupid for him, too.
Yeah, and I mean, that is kind of what becomes a little bit of a problem, because he has to win, you know, at least a segment at some point. He's gonna stand tall
this time.
Yeah, I mean, finally. But I think the dumb thing, you know, you have the steel cage match on Christmas. Maybe just do that, but then don't have another title match the next week. Because now he's had 3 title matches. Get another title match against Roman, right?
So he had TLC and then Christmas and then this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've said our piece on this. I think it's a little bit excessive what they've done here. I know it's because they pretty much have to, but like, you just risk Owens looking like a total idiot if you don't do anything.
Do they have to, instead of just doing it with like Shinsuke, who's back now?
Well, because then what do you? Well, because then like, well, I guess he doesn't really lose anything by getting the title match and then moving on. This was part of the larger story at hand, but I think that it would have just been better executed at this point in hindsight. And I know that people might be upset about this fact or this notion, but like, all you had to do, if you wanted to do this, is have Owens win at TLC, drop the title in the cage match without him getting pinned, and then do a last man standing match where, again, he doesn't have to get pinned. Every match that they've had in this series involves some sort of protection.
Yeah.
So my question is, why didn't you do a title change?
Well, and it's funny.
Instead of the opposite here of just having him continually lose, it just makes him look like a loser.
Well,
you don't have the same effect anymore because, what, are you going to really drag this out until WrestleMania now? For what? No one needs to see that.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's kind of the same thing they did with Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton over the summer, where if you're going to have Randy win, just have him win the
ambulance. But also, I don't even agree with that because it's the babyface beating the heel. This is the heel beating the babyface into oblivion.
That's true.
And yeah, you could have done that too, but like, I get why they did the Hell in a Cell and then the title win on Raw, because it did elevate McIntyre a bit more. But this has been three matches where now you have the opportunity to have Roman be protected if he loses, and you didn't do it. And now you're put in a predicament here where, again, you can't milk this out any longer than this. It cannot go any longer.
I guess I could do a draw, but who is that for? In a last man standing match, who is that for?
Well, we know they did that once.
Well, yeah.
In '04, but also, like, what is ultimately, because even if they do the draw, that's not worth milking it out till April 10th or 11th.
No.
That's a long time.
No.
That's a long time of occupying everyone's time and you know, presence here when you have a bunch of dudes on SmackDown who could very realistically challenge for the championship. But like I said, the issue now is just that they've beaten KO into oblivion when they didn't even have to.
Yeah.
When you've had the opportunities to protect both parties and you're just going to have him lose again, which I think sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think
it sucks because... And it's not to say that, you know, Owens needs a title to be validated because he obviously had those early runs. He's had a great run in his career. You don't necessarily need the title to be made, but God damn, he's done a lot of great work over the last year and a half or so where, quite frankly, none of this really even had to work. The Shane stuff didn't have to be as effective as it was. Mm-hmm. The Rollins stuff was great and effective, but obviously that got curtailed by him getting hurt after the Mania match, which I thought was also done really well.
Yeah.
And then he gets into this feud with Roman where he's re-energized again. And then they just did this again. It's like, come on.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because it's like, where does Kevin Owens go after this then?
Because they're going to end up having to turn him. Because they don't have any juice with him.
Yeah. And that sucks.
Which I think sucks. Because again, he's been such an endearing babyface for the last year and a half that feeling like you have to turn him heel now to get any juice out of him is going to suck. Straight up. It's going to suck.
You guys got very strong opinions on this, but I've been surfing Twitter this whole time, so I hope y'all enjoyed that one. Let's talk favorites for the Rumble. Starting out on the men's side, I really like Shinsuke, and I know that, you know, like, yes, his ascension's a little bit fresh. He won it a couple years ago. I think that that's a guy that, you know, if you don't want to do Big E, if you would rather him, you know, hold on to the IC strap, which I love still. Go listen to First Black Champ a couple weeks ago. The boys were like, hey, some guys got to run the Intercontinental scene. And that's facts. You know, if you don't want it to be Kevin Owens, which has been way too many matches at this by that point, it's not going to be Rock. Why not Shinsuke? Yeah, I just look over on the Raw side. There's nobody else that, you know, wows me. You know, like, we can go up and down about problems that Ross had, but just look at the guys who are not Drew or Miz, because Miz would be the other guy, but Miz has Money in the Bank, so what's the point of him winning Royal Rumble? To me I just think it's got to be Shinsuke. That's got to be the guy that you build towards, unless you want NXT, because Charlotte broke that barrier last year, so technically.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, you know, you look at, and it's not the best way to go about things, but you look at the betting lines all over. Daniel Bryan's still a huge favorite. They made a big deal about how he's never won the Rumble. And I know his booking has been a little strange this month, but he's also a guy where if he wins the Rumble, he's heated up instantly. I mean, he's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to suggest a men's pick from Raw because I think Chris is going to pick the same one who no one's talking about, and I don't want to step on him here. It's not going to be Bray Wyatt, though. People keep saying it's going to be Bray Wyatt. It's not going to be Bray Wyatt.
No,
that's insane.
No, it's not going to be. Bray is going to eliminate Orton. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Illegally, he's going to eliminate him. He's not going to win the Rumble. That's actually freaking insane.
You want my Raw pick that still probably isn't going to happen? Brock Lesnar. That's my pick from Raw. But I'm going Bryan overall. You mean
Brock Lesnar or Parker Boudreaux?
I don't know what they're going to do with that guy, but they got to get him on TV.
They got to get ASAP, him. No, they got to get him signed.
First off, I forgot he even left Notre Dame. Secondly, the wonderful power play by you, kid, going down to fucking Central Florida, knowing that once your fucking college days are over, if you're not going to the league, you're going to go into professional wrestling. So,
and he calls himself the next big thing.
Yeah. So
he is the next big thing. Right. He's the next big thing.
Okay. So
I don't hate the Brock pick, though.
I will go with somebody. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying that he's my pick, but I think he's somebody that people need to maybe pay a little closer to attention to, you know, maybe start suggesting as a possible favorite. He's a guy from Raw. It's AJ Styles. And I'll say this for these reasons only. One, he's AJ Styles. I mean, he's accomplished nearly everything that there is, and he hasn't won a Royal Rumble. You know, he's only been in, like, I want to say two Rumbles since he got there. Yeah, he's been in two, because 2017 he was in the WWE title match with Cena. 2018 and 2019 he had WWE title matches against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. In 2018, Daniel Bryan. In 2019, he was in the Rumble last year, obviously. Had that interaction with Edge. So he'll be in his third Rumble now. And like I said, he's accomplished everything. He's one of the most protected guys on the roster. I think he's always a guy who has a shot. And another thing is that his booking since he got to Raw has been completely upward, except for the loss to McIntyre, which it was protected. It was a TLC match. He wasn't pinned, wasn't made to submit or any of that nonsense. He has not lost a match in 3 months. And he continues to have good to great matches on Raw. He had a great match against Ricochet. That Styles clash that he had was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where he tossed Ricochet on the ropes, caught him, hit it. Nasty, great match. And they had him beat Ricochet. They had him beat Drew Gulak the previous week. They had him beat Elias. He's one of the only dudes who's actually continuously winning matches right now. And, you know, is in viable, serious contention for the Rumble because they keep mentioning it when he's on TV. I think one of the only other guys who's undefeated since the year 2021 started is actually Big E, but they have him so landlocked in the Intercontinental title scene, it has me believing he's probably not a viable threat to win the Rumble. Lashley is also up there as well, but he's gotten, you know, I don't think he's going to win, but he wins all the time. And I know that the argument would be, oh, it's AJ Styles. They have him win a lot all the time. Maybe don't think about it. I agree, but also they don't have win streaks for like that for somebody unless they have something seriously happening with them.
Yeah.
This happened with Drew to a lesser extent, even though she didn't win her Royal Rumble match. It happened with Bayley a bit. At the end of 2018, going into 2019, they had her getting forward momentum. We all know what happened after that.
Yep.
So if Styles doesn't win the Rumble, something big is on the horizon here, because again, they don't have people not lose matches for 3+ months for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
now as for the Women's Rumble, God, I couldn't make a pick. I couldn't make a pick if I wanted to now.
Gotta be Bianca, man.
No, it doesn't have to be Bianca.
It should be Bianca.
What are you going to do on SmackDown if you're not going to do Bianca and Sasha? And I know there's other ways to get there.
Fatal four-way! What? I mean, why not? Hold on. You do it every fucking year anyway.
Hold on a minute. Did you just ask what you could do if you don't do Bianca versus Sasha? You know what they can do.
What, Bayley against Sasha?
Yes!
I mean, yeah.
Why the fuck? They can do... No, I'm
good. I don't want it to happen, but look. They got pre-pandemic ratings when they were on TV.
I'm fucking so good.
That I'm good on it too. I don't want it to happen, but it's a possibility that exists. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also think that people are extremely overreacting to what happened on Raw by saying, oh, Alexa Bliss is definitely winning the Rumble. No. She doesn't. No. I think that it's possible, but I think people jumping to the conclusion of it's definitely going to happen are freaking crazy.
I will say, I'm looking at this Firefly Funhouse shirt, and I might cop this shit right now.
It's a good shirt. I like
it. It's a good shirt. It's a good shirt. But let me tell you something. Raw, it happened last year with SmackDown. Raw's been like the only – it happened a couple years ago with SmackDown. Raw has multi-woman. We're too freaking lazy to book a one-on-one program, even though it's right in front of us. So we're just going to throw everybody in a match written all over it for the Raw Women's Championship program.
Yeah.
I'm saying this 3 months out. I think that's what's going to happen. People are going to complain, but that's what's going to happen. I have no reason to believe that there's going to be a clear, concise program for Mania, for Asuka, whoever the hell is champ, until I see it. SmackDown's a little easier because I can see a one-on-one thing happen.
Well,
but you could. It's just a matter of what is it going
to
be.
You could have Charlotte win the Rumble, and then you know her and Asuka.
You don't need to have Charlotte win the Rumble again.
Yeah.
I will say also, I know that it's very narrative based, but the problem is they haven't really introduced much of a narrative. Rhea could win it. She hasn't been on NXT TV in 2 weeks.
So that happens again this week. She won that shit.
Well, that happened with Shayna last year too, though.
And I know that I'm regretting everything that I said, but the problem is with the logic there is that everything has been so mishmashed on TV that I don't know who's going to win the Rumble. It's a literal toss-up at this point. Anybody could do it. I know it's fun, but it makes it harder to figure out, and I don't like that. I like when they tell me what's going to happen. And I like when people miss the point also. It just makes me feel smarter, and I'm an asshole like that. Just
make it a good fucking winner, okay? Like, they'll do years where they'll have a fucking Sheamus win. Because, yeah, you really want to build up Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, all 16 seconds of it. Just give us something that's actually meaningful. That's all I ask is... Let's go back to the days where you book a Rumble and you know exactly what the fuck you want to do going into it. Like 2005, for instance, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You know, like, get away from doing that, and that pisses me off. Dusty Cup, men's and women's. I think the whole first round of the men's is done. The women, I think they only had like one match, and that was the Casey Catanzaro, Caden Carter win from the other night. I watched that match back earlier today. I thought it was decent. I'm not going to beat a whole stick. She over rotated. Oh, she didn't hit Tony right. Oh, Tony didn't move. Guess what? I don't really give a fuck because I thought the move was pretty cool and it looked pretty cool. So, yeah,
it was wild.
There is one more men's match. Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher are going against Arya Daivari and Tony Nese.
It's happening on 205.
So sorry, there is no other fucking match. They've moved on.
We know how that one's
fucking going. Arya Daivari. And I'm sorry, no disrespect, Daivari. Like, your brother was pretty cool, but you're not moving on. Sorry. Yeah. Damn, what a fall for Tony Nese. Bro was winning a championship at WrestleMania 2 years ago. Now look at him.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I thought the Dusty Cup matches were pretty good. You know, I was a little surprised that Kushida and Leon Ruff got the win, but
I'm not the only one. But
I kind of was also, but it makes sense to advance the Kushida Gargano feud, and also GYV. They're kind of, I mean, I guess they're maybe like tweeners, but they're definitely heels. So them facing a true babyface team in Kushida and Leon Ruff works a little bit more.
GYV and all Grizzle Young Veterans.
They are definitely 100%.
Since when have they been tweening?
Well, I don't know if they've been really tweening as much as they haven't really been, like, I guess, true villains since they came back. But they've definitely been on the heel side more than they've been on the face
side. I'm going to say, if they ever try to change GWV GYV from being heels, because, like, that's the money. That's what they've always been money as, even on the indies, so... Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. They are definitely 100% going to be doing Undisputed Era versus Grizzled Young Veterans. There's no way to really pass that up in the semis.
Oh, the semi. Yeah.
Probably
yeah. Yeah, because they're going to do, because they're obviously going to do Undisputed Era versus Thatcher and Ciampa.
Yeah.
And I think TUE is going to win that.
Yeah.
As for the other side's a little tougher to figure out.
I think MSK gets through.
Yeah, I think MSK beats Maverick and Dane. Maverick and Dane are obviously great, but they're pushing the hell out of MSK. Even just 2 weeks in, you can tell that they have serious good plans for them. Legado del Fantasma versus Lucha House Party is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And first of all, I am a big fan of the fact that Metalik and Dorado are getting some serious burn on Raw. And
very happy.
Very happy for them. Very happy for them.
Yeah, Metalik's getting his push that he should have gotten
years ago.
4 years ago, but you know.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately I could probably see Legado del Fantasma moving on to face MSK. I think MSK is making the finals. Whether they win is I think dependent on who they face. Because if they face Grizzly Young Veterans, they're definitely winning, and they're definitely facing Morgan and Birch because it's face versus heel.
Yeah.
But it'll just be a bigger toss-up if they face Cole and Strong, because obviously they've still got that feud going on with them and Balor and Dunn and
Kyle. I thought on a whole NXT was one of the best shows they put out in the past.
Couple months. They've had some, and also as far as the women's Dusty Cup, they've been putting a lot of momentum behind Casey and Kayden, at least on social. So, and they kind of played their hand there. They made sense to beat Mercedes and Tony since they're both going after EO.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to beat Dakota and Raquel. Sorry, Ali and Jesse Kamea, but you're not winning that match.
Yeah.
I could probably see Casey and Kayden making a run to the finals, but I think Candice and Indy are going to win this tournament.
Yeah.
That's my pick. That's fair. I think Candice and Indy are going to win this tournament. I don't know about you for the Women's Dusty Cup, but...
No, I think that's a safe bet. And, you know, I think it's cool they brought in some other women since they had to kind of fill the roster a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they brought in Elena Black, who has been on AAW back home. So I was happy to see her. You know, they're bringing in girls. They're bringing in girls that can work, that they know that they can have in the performance center as bodies while they get better and they can replenish. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. That's what the performance center is supposed to be. Is, you know, they've really brought in a healthy mix of trainees and ready-made guys like MSK. I'm trying to find a way to preface this without it coming off as like ridiculous, because fucking, you know, the pandemic was a worst case scenario because it meant that they had to get rid of so many people that otherwise they would not have gotten rid of because, you know, you don't want to fucking watch anybody lose their job. They were due for a purge at some point. And the reason why they were due for a purge is because they need to keep replenishing and keep finding bodies. And a lot of the people that they've gotten rid of or had to cut within the past year, if there wasn't some sort of, you know, hey, I got to get the fuck out of here, it's mainly people that just needed to go and be great elsewhere. And they can't be great because they're in the Federation and at the bottom of the totem pole where there's no upward trajectory. You know, so I'm thankful that at least we've seen the guys that have left. They've gone, they're going on to do other things like fucking Gallows and Anderson. They're on two different shows and two different networks, you know, on the same week, which is great for them because they weren't doing jack shit when they were in the Federation. Miro's getting in a much better place now.
Yeah, he's getting there.
I would say he doesn't have the stress that he had in WWE, and at least that for that alone, it seems like he's in a much better place. But yeah, like this is the cycle, and unfortunately, the cycle means people lose jobs, and obviously, this past year was a little bit different because of COVID. But I think we're kind of getting back into a good spot where WWE is good with their current and their future. And then everyone else is looking fine as well. AEW has a really good roster right now. Impact, yeah, they got some guys you don't care about. But you look at Impact's roster, it's a pretty good number three. Lord knows what ROH is doing because goodness. yeah. Last I saw was Marty left. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's about all that's been happening there lately.
Yeah.
Is he kicking it over to AEW or not?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I mean, you would think if he wanted to, he would have by now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Likely. Maybe, or maybe they're waiting for the pay-per-view. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's probably a big enough name to where you can wait to, you know, bring him in as a surprise, quote unquote surprise.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, Pierce, you had just talked about it with them bringing new women in. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. I'm really happy for everyone who's there. I will say this, though. This Dusty Classic that they have, it's a smaller tournament compared to the men's tournament, obviously. But right now, I see 16 women on this page. That's not including Io Shirai, the women's champion. It's not including Xia Li. It's not including Karen Q, who's probably going to be revealed as the person behind, you know, everything that Xia and Boa are dealing with right now. Nope. And it's not including the other bodies that they have, like Katrina Cortez, who, of course, was Catalina last year, or Brandi Lauren, who's Skylar Story now, or Valentina Feroz, who's Rita Rees. My point is, please, for the love of God, Triple H, Vince, work together, pull some of these women out of there and bring them to the main roster. I'm tired of watching the same crap every week on the main roster because both women's divisions suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's fair.
Yeah, you can pull up a Mercedes. I think it's time for EO to go up.
Shit. I don't even care if you don't bring up any heavy hitters. You bring up Aaliyah next week? Cool. Fine. Oh, yeah,
that's another
someone who can lose matches and have no one really give us or throw a fit I've about.
Been calling for Aaliyah for like literally a year now. Yeah. Just because she can be a body.
Well, right. Yeah. And now, you know, they're getting pushed, but Kacy and Caden are someone that could have went up probably easily. A year and a half ago.
Easily. I mean, they could have easily gotten up.
They're different enough than anyone on the roster where they'll stand out even if they're not short. That great. Well,
I can say that because I'm a short person.
Yeah. I mean,
everyone on the women's roster is short.
Come on, dude. by the standards.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like Tony. Tony's short as hell.
Yeah.
But also that thing. They didn't have Dakota's in it. What am I talking about? They didn't have Dakota.
Dakota doesn't need to be there either at this point.
Should have been up by now. I think the only reason Dakota's still been there is because they wanted to do a thing with Tegan Knox, and now Tegan's hurt. And guess what? When Tegan gets healthy,
She needs to
be on the fucking main roster because who knows how long she's gonna have.
It's kind of funny that like the two that were actually able to be called up were Vanessa Bourne and Chelsea Green,
and then Santana Garrett apparently too. It's like
and
okay, cool.
Mia Yim and
I heard her name. Was she on a TV show lately?
Who's Santana?
Yeah.
No, she hasn't been on TV in a while, but she was softly called up.
That's why I was like, when I saw her name pop up, I was like, I haven't seen Santana Garrett in a long ass minute. I forgot she got signed.
She got the soft call up, but no, they never put her on TV. Same thing happened with Vanessa Bourne. She's been in Arizona since February.
Yeah, and then Chelsea got hurt, and you know they put
Mia Yim on the main roster. They haven't done one thing worth a shit.
Is she still in Retribution?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
But
Vanessa Bourne was called up to the main roster in January 2020, huh?
Yeah, she was just never used. She's literally been sitting in her home in Arizona this whole time.
You know?
What good does it what good is it that she's in Arizona and not in Orlando? Even if they're not going to put her on TV, what good is it to not have her at the performance center?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know if it's a situation where maybe she is looking after someone.
Yeah, like that has to be it.
That has to be it, yeah.
Yeah, because that was with Riddick Moss, too.
Yeah.
That's right. Right.
I forgot about that.
I would guess that's got to be the reason, but if it's not, it would make no fucking sense.
Yeah.
I also thought Rick Moss is injured. I'm looking to see he says he has a knee injury.
Yeah, it could be both.
Wasn't he at home first and then he popped in? He was on Raw Underground. And he might have gotten hurt and taken off the TV then.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who hasn't been on TV in a while that I hope stays off TV?
Lars. Yeah. I think that's kind of
the last we saw was his shirtless interview with Michael Cole.
Yeah, because having him stand right next to Michael Cole shirtless was a great idea.
They need to cut that freaking dead weight. I'm sorry, I don't really.
You have to at this point. I think there's so much on Lars, you know, outside of the ring, and I'm not even talking about the porn video. I think there's so much with Lars outside of the ring that every time that you bring him on TV, it's a thing.
Yeah,
you know, like. you just gotta move on from it.
Yeah, and he's not that good of a
worker either. No, he's not that good either. No.
You know, he was okay in the North American title ladder match, but there were five other guys. Yeah, exactly. The biggest match he had was the
championship match in Chicago, and that wasn't a good match anyway. It sucked.
Yeah. So
it was a fucking match so Aleister Black could be on the card and you could say, oh, he beat a monster. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, move on from Lars. That's fucking dead weight. They should also move on from Jackson Ryker. I don't know why he's still on TV because he's looking like a fucking fool, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It wasn't on the rundown, but they got this superstar spectacle thing at 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday. That looks pretty fun.
So is that a weekly TV show?
I think it's a preview for NXT India.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because, you know, I have Jeff Jarrett's going to be running it, which is cool.
Of course.
You know, they talk about gender.
He's big in India, huh? That ain't that great. I didn't know they loved country music over there.
But yeah, this tweet they put out, they say that gender is going to be on it and Singh Brothers. And the graphic
I know Bailey's going to be on it.
Yeah, Bailey's on the graphic. So I'm going to be interested in what it is. And I think just watching wrestling at 8:30 a.m. on a weekday is fun too.
I definitely ain't watching that shit at 8:30 in the fucking morning. Like, dog, the network's a thing. Okay. Come on. So it won't even be on. It's 6:30. Fuck that.
Yeah, I was going to say, technically, Pierce, it's for you. It's 6:30.
I mean, I'm up at 8:30, so, you know.
Catch me watching that at fucking 11 o'clock at night before I go to bed. I think that's it. Let's go to 2005. We got about... I think next week is the Rumble.
It has to be, right?
I can't imagine there's another 2 weeks of shows. Goodness. No. But anyway, last we left off, Triple H had cost Batista a shot at the World Heavyweight title, which means Randy Orton now has a shot at the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. And then over on the SmackDown side, Jesus Christ, Kurt Angle kidnapped Joy and put her in the back of JBL's trunk because this is what we do in 2005. We don't respect women at all. That continues.
I want to say SmackDown will get better, and then I remember the Kurt Angle Booker T thing. It's 2005.
Well, no.
It is, but SmackDown does get better. There's still some fun stuff awaiting us in SmackDown.
I did forget that was in 2005, though. Yes. So we got that coming up.
You know what? I had went back and for random watched that match. A couple years ago, without even knowing the backstory of the promo, and then you watch the video and you're like, wow, I don't remember that shit happening at all. And I'm very glad that my mental brain was either like not watching SmackDown at the time or just forgot all about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So nothing all that interesting happened in the NBA on January 17th, 2005. There's no real notables here. The Bulls did beat the Knicks by 2 points in New York.
Yeah,
so they're continuing to make a run here. The Spurs beat the Wizards by almost 30 points in San Antonio. Besides that, like I said, nothing really all that interesting. No real changes in the Billboard Top 100. Let Me Love You by Mario is still number one. The top five did not really change. Yeah, it's going to be number one for a while. Breakaway.
Like late February, it changes.
Yeah. Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson got in the top 10 after being at 11 last week. So that's fun. Nothing really else happened there. So let's jump into the wrestling.
Yeah. So we had some Royal Rumble qualifying matches over the weekend at live events. Christian beat Regal. Kane beat Snitsky. Luther and Jindrak beat Nunzio and Sky Tuhati. Chris Jericho beat Muhammad Hassan. And Orlando Jordan beat Charlie Haas. So they're all in the Rumble.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yeah. I'm fine with none of those being on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to make a big deal about how they should have Rumble qualifying matches. People can just say that they're in. But I think Adam Pearce did a good job explaining, like, some people are allowed to just be in. They've earned that right.
They should just let them declare anyway. Who cares? I mean, we don't need to see things like we have on Raw and SmackDown where, like, you know, Shelton Benjamin's facing Maven or...
Well, you would think it would just be fine, but then, like, earlier this week, I think it was Brian Gewirtz tweeted, like, oh, why can you just declare now? we didn't do it like that.
Okay, well, what you did was stupid and didn't have any drama. Exactly. Like, just because what you did, because the thing with qualifying matches that I've come to understand a lot with wrestling, it's an emotional attachment to something that you thought was great when you were growing up, but then you grow up and realize that that thing was actually kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't care that they had qualifying matches. They didn't have any drama.
No.
You think I'm supposed to believe that Maven was going to be Shelton to get into the Rumble?
Yeah,
I don't care that you did it that way. I know what's going to happen.
So yeah, we're at the Air Canada Center.
They are.
Chris Jericho opens with the highlight reel, mentions that he qualified for the Rumble over the weekend, and Hassan and Daivari come out. Said they came out before they were introduced. Hassan said they wanted Jericho to get to the point instead of just rambling on about himself. Hassan said he felt a connection to Canada because Canadians are also considered second-class citizens, but the difference is Canadians deserve it. Hassan says the real terrorists gained access to America through Canada because the Canadian officials didn't do their jobs right. Jericho tells them to shut up and the people won't be shy to tell Hassan and Daivari what they really think about them. Hassan says that Jericho was born in America and grew up in Canada, so he's the worst of both worlds. And then Hassan and Daivari attack him, but Chris Benoit comes out to break it up.
What a diss.
Yeah. And here we are, you know, 15 years later, where Muhammad Hassan is educating the youth of America, and Chris Jericho is, you know.
Is not.
No.
Is not.
No.
He's not.
So. Ric Flair says he smoothed things over with Batista and everything's fine, except he never actually talked to him. They just left each other voicemails. It's good. Good job.
Okay, so we had a 6-man tag, La Resistance and Maven, faced off with Shelton Benjamin, Hurricane, and Rosie. La Resistance won the titles from Regal and Coach last night at a house show.
Yeah, they didn't really say why Coach was Regal's partner, but, you know, spoilers, Regal gets him back in a couple weeks and pretty much a cooler moment anyway. So,
yeah.
La Resistance double team Rosie behind the ref's back and got the win. So, you know.
Yep. Backstage, Stacy Keibler congratulated Randy Orton on becoming number one contender and kissed him on the cheek. I wonder what this is leading to.
Yeah, look at that.
Also, this is very long term storytelling because this has been going on since 2002.
Yes. got a press conference in LA this week featuring Stone Cold because he's back in good graces with the company.
He sure is.
And he's going to be in some movies.
Yeah. The Condemned.
Yeah. So
Randy Orton is out here for a promo. Since the best moment of his life happened in Toronto, he said like the best, greatest moment or something like that. Yeah. And I'm just like, Orton, come on, man. This is not working for you.
Yeah.
When he became the youngest world champion in history, everything worked out. And everything that he worked for was taken from him by Triple H, and he wants all of it back, his pride, blood, and title. Orton says that at the Royal Rumble, he will get it all back. This brings out Triple H, who said that Randy turned his back on Evolution and he suffered for it. He says that he'll suffer more at the Royal Rumble. Orton said it's the same thing Triple H has been saying for the past 6 years, and Orton says that if Triple H is so good, he should come prove it right now. Triple H says that he's the champion, and Orton can come to him. He will not come to Orton. That turns out to be a self-fulfilling prophecy because Orton comes out and chases after him. However, Triple H beats him up on the stage. They get back into the ring, and Orton gets the upper hand. Flair then comes out to assist, but Orton takes them both out, and Triple H retreats.
There's a lot going on, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, too. Orton fumbling the opening of the promo aside. I thought it was an effective segment.
Maria goes to interview Triple H, and he kind of blows her off.
That was kind of rude of him.
Tells Flair that when Batista gets there, he's got to get something off his chest, but then they turn the corner, and Batista's right there.
Yeah.
Says he's been thinking about last week, and there's no hard feelings, and then Batista says he has to go talk to Eric Bischoff about something. And Triple H says he'll come with, but Batista wants to go by himself.
Interesting.
Mm. Coach interviews Shawn Michaels, who they still don't like in Canada. said he's begged for forgiveness for 7 years. At some point, he has to move on. He's moving on tonight, focusing on winning the Royal Rumble so he can qualify tonight. Bischoff comes and says he doesn't need to qualify because he's Shawn Michaels, which, again, that's what they do now pretty much. That's fine.
Exactly. It's fine.
But also, he's facing Christian tonight, and Michaels won't make any excuses like Edge would, and he'll go face Christian. Edge comes out and watches the match from the stage, and then Shawn goes for sweet chin music, but Christian counters it into an unprettier attempt, and Shawn flips him over his head and hits sweet chin music after all for the win. Tomko comes in while Sean's celebrating, and he also gets sweet chin music, but then Edge comes in and spears Sean and puts him in a sharpshooter.
Crowd lost their mind.
Yeah.
Edge. Not surprisingly, they lost their freaking mind.
He's from Toronto,
and
he's beating up Shawn Michaels.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
It's a stark difference from the summer. The reaction he got over the summer.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's right. Fickle ass fans.
Batista faced Viscera.
He has some vitriol in that voice. I know exactly why.
So Batista faced Viscera. And one with a spine buster because he couldn't Batista bomb him. But look at Viscera, man.
Just yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Getting
work.
Getting checks.
Yeah, his summer will be nice too.
Yeah. Sure. Triple H and Flair congratulate Batista on his win. Batista said it was actually, he's got a Rumble qualifying match next week. And Triple H says that Batista's in the Rumble. He can't focus on helping Triple H beat Orton. You know what? Sometimes you got to just focus on your own shit, man.
Yeah, man.
You know,
damn.
You got Ric Flair there.
Yeah.
Let him help.
Shit. So we get Jericho versus Benoit. This is every Jericho and Benoit match you've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
Pretty decent. Jericho countered a sharpshooter into a roll up, got the win, and shook hands afterwards. We move on.
Yeah.
To another Chris Masters vignette. They are ramping things up.
Yeah. He'll be there soon.
In a month. Mm-hmm. Because I know exactly when it happens because I saw him at a house show at the Garden.
Oh, yeah,
5 days
that.
Later.
Yeah.
Yes, or 4 days later, I should say.
Next week, Randy Orton will be facing Ric Flair.
Indeed. Good lead up for the Rumble and the go-home show.
Yeah.
Then Trish Stratus comes out.
Yeah.
Typical 2005 Trish here.
Yep.
in every sort of way. She says that it's nice to be in Canada because everyone in America is so mean to her. She said that she warned Lita about facing her at New Year's Revolution, and look at Lita now. Trish said that she was right and said there's a locker room full of men that would be more than happy to impregnate Lita and give her the baby she keeps yammering about. Good Lord. And just because her knee is bad doesn't mean that her uterus is. My God.
I did go back and look in the Torch, by the way, and Trish and Lita were supposed to get like 10 minutes at New Year's Revolution, so that's why everything else kind of got boosted a little bit. We were talking
that
about
makes
that
sense,
a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So they only ended up with 3, so everything else kind of
went
longer.
Yeah. Well, the Chamber match going longer didn't hurt it.
No.
So then Kane came out, went to choke slam her, thought better of it, but then did it anyway.
Yeah, it's time for a main event. Kane against Gene Snitsky in a no-holds-barred match.
And the fans totally crapped on this whole thing.
It's not terrible. Very good. Yeah. it's bad.
It's horrible.
They end up getting a no contest because they both go through the table, and then you hear Snitsky talking to Kane about if he did a good job on the spot or not because he thought they were off the air. Yeah. So I guess that'll continue.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I do think that they did a wonderful job. Obviously it just wound up happening that all the Toronto folk were heels. Excellent placement having Christian go out there with Michaels, who was never getting cheered, and then getting speared by Edge, who was getting all the cheers. Trish just felt like a baby. From the moment she came out, she felt like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, also excellent job of putting together Benoit and Jericho, because two Canadian dudes that at the time they loved. They're going to get cheers, and the fans in Toronto are going to be sucked into that match regardless. Anyway, SmackDown is not good at all. SmackDown. Not going to lie to you. Like, there were some fucking matches on this shit, some qualifying matches. I'm like, this shit ain't got to be a fucking qualifying match. Why the fuck is Scotty too hot to give him a fucking qualifying match?
Yeah. All right. So before we get there, we did have a milestone in the NBA on that Wednesday. In the Cleveland Cavaliers 107-101 victory over the Portland Trailblazers in Portland, LeBron James became the youngest player ever to record a triple-double. He scored 27, had 11 rebounds, and dished out 10 assists.
I wonder how long he'll be doing that for.
Has that been broken by now?
That probably has been broken now.
I'm trying to think who would have done it.
If anyone would have done it, maybe Luka?
I think it is Luka. I think that was the thing. Or LaMelo Ball.
Oh, it's LaMelo Ball. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I knew I heard about that's it recently.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Luka did it
prior. Yeah, Luka did it definitely prior to it. Let's see. So the Celtics ended the Bulls' 7-game win streak.
Damn.
The 92-83 win in Boston. And also on that Thursday.
I think I lost you. But yeah. I don't know where to go with this one, you guys. We're just going to keep talking shit about shit. while we wait for these guys to restore connection, what you guys can do is go subscribe to the Patreon. $10 will get you everything. This upcoming weekend, we will... Oh, I think you guys back. But let me just finish
go ahead.
Back. This upcoming weekend, you guys will get the WWE Top 25, the preseason poll. You also get a brand new summer sessions and more shit. I mean, it's just nice to give us your $10 because we do so much and we do it selflessly and thanklessly. So if you support us, man, $10, patreon.com/barbershirtnet. Okay, now that we got these guys back, these guys are talking about some kind of fucking accomplished. No, you did the LeBron thing, so I think that was something else.
Yeah, the Celtics broke the Bulls' 7-game win streak with a 92-83 win in Boston. Also, Tracy McGrady returned to Orlando on that Thursday, the day of SmackDown, and the Rockets beat the Magic 108-99. McGrady scored 27 points in his return.
I had a feeling that it was something big with Tracy McGrady because it's this, and then we're getting close to the monster fucking 13 seconds he had.
Yes.
I think it's coming up in like March, I believe.
Yeah.
Sometime soon.
And of course, that ensuing weekend, the Patriots and the Eagles both clinched berths into Super Bowl 39. The Pats beat the Steelers 41-27 in Pittsburgh. The Eagles beat the Falcons 27-10 in Philadelphia.
Did that one hurt or did you care?
It kind of stung, but I was still pretty early into my Falcons fandom that I didn't really care. I was mostly annoyed that it happened two times in a row with the Eagles because they beat them in 2002, 2003 after they'd beaten the Packers in Lambeau because they made that whole big thing.
Yeah,
they were the first team to beat them in a playoff game or whatever when it was like under 32.
So you could have just got out right there.
I could have, but...
Greatest moment of Falcon history.
I had plenty of outs, but I didn't take them. I left the Rams for less.
Yeah.
Right. Same. The Rams decided they wanted Kyle Bowler as a quarterback, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I left the Rams.
Let me go root for the Bears for the rest of my life because ain't that sad? Sure. Ain't that fucking sad? Yeah. I meant Mark Bolger. Ain't that fucking sad? Is that I left Mark Bolger to go root for the Chicago Bears and their quarterbacks? It's fucking sad.
Yeah. Also, the Knicks lost their coach because Lanny Wilkins resigned.
That's right. Lenny Wilkins did resign around this time, and then we're too far away from getting Isaiah.
Correct. Because Isaiah's the GM at this point, so.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Sorry. What am I talking about?
Larry Brown's first.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Time is going to be interesting when we end up, like, talking about Larry Brown. He's already a Hall of Famer. But, like, Larry Brown, throughout history... was never, I mean, obviously he was a good, decent coach, but it was like, he was always the cancer. And he was always a problem wherever he went. The fact that he never stayed more than like 3-4 seasons. And like, dude, you had it in the palm of your hands with the fucking Pistons. You had a great team. You took them to back-to-back championships. You're like, nah, I want more. I want to go coach the Knicks. What?
You and idiot! Also, it's worth noting that this is continuing a round of turmoil for the Knicks because after the 03-04 season, that was the last time that Marv Albert was retained by MSG because he was not retained because he criticized them on TV.
And he went to go join Yes Network. So
because he was on TNT for a while, obviously.
Yeah,
I think he just stayed there because Ian Eagle was on the call for the net. I think Marv did do Nets games for a bit.
He did. They switched off. I think
that's right.
Marv would do select games when he wasn't doing TNT, but Ian Eagle was always the main guy.
You're right. I totally forgot that he did games with the Nets now that you say that. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Okay. Should we get into SmackDown?
Yes, we can get into Not SmackDown. Really.
From the Bell Center.
Yeah.
We love Montreal.
Yes.
The Bell Centre.
Yes.
Yeah.
Teddy Long is in the ring to open the show. He says last week Kurt Angle sunk to a new low, and tonight Angle will face the consequences. He'll issue an apology tonight without Luther Reigns or Mark Jindrak. If Angle doesn't do it, then he's out of the title match at the Royal Rumble, and he won't get another title match in 2005. Mm-hmm. We open the action with Eddie Guerrero and Booker T against the Bashams for the tag titles.
This was probably the high point of the show.
Yeah.
And even then, it ended in a screwy finish.
Yeah. The Basham switched, and Eddie tried to tell the ref, but he didn't listen. And then Eddie ends up coming in and takes them both out. Orlando Jordan gets on the apron, and Eddie brings him in. And then the ref's dealing with that, and Doug Basham brings in the title. Eddie gets it and hits Doug with it, but he can't get rid of it soon enough. And Eddie gets DQ'd, which that's kind of cool. I mean, if he's going to do that, he should get caught once in a while.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know?
He can't get away with it all the time.
Yeah. Eddie and Booker argue, and then Eddie leaves. The Bashams and Orlando beat up Booker for a while, and then Eddie goes back to save him.
Exactly. So JBL was looking forward to getting revenge on Kurt Angle tonight because what he did last week crossed the line. Big Show and Joy were standing by the door waiting for Kurt Angle to walk in.
Yeah.
And then we had that aforementioned Royal Rumble qualifier with Akio and Scotty Guhati for some odd reason or another. I guess we need to fill time on this television
show. That could have just been on Velocity.
That could have just, yeah, it could have just been on Velocity. That could have been a house show match.
Scotty gets the victory. So he's in the Royal Rumble. That's fun.
Yay.
Josh Matthews is talking with John Cena, and Cena says, if you want some, come get some for the first time.
First time.
Got a new catchphrase.
First time. He's got a new catchphrase.
Teddy Long tells Big Show that he's not allowed to beat up Kurt Angle when he gets there. He told Kurt that he'd be able to go to the ring and make his apology, not have to worry about getting beat up. But Big Show doesn't really care much. He's going to do what he does.
Then Carlito said last week that Teddy didn't do anything when Joy was abducted and he should be held responsible. Hayden Wright comes out and then he signs a petition because he wants Ted Long gone too for trying to force him into the casket match. Then Undertaker appears on screen. He says that Hayden Wright will meet his maker at the Rumble. He opens a casket and there's a Heidenreich dummy in it.
Heidenreich is so fucking terrible.
He really is.
Yeah, he's goodness bad. Gracious.
So bad, like,
we need to get over Heidenreich and Snitsky very quickly.
I cannot believe that we were so close to a Heidenreich Snitsky versus Brothers of Destruction match at Mania. No. That would have sucked.
Yeah, no, it would have been bad.
I really think that could have been one of the worst matches in Mania history.
Oh, yeah.
Thank possibly. God they reversed
very course. Much possibly. It would instantly have been the worst Taker championship match, and that's saying a lot.
Championship match,
WrestleMania match, that's saying a lot. Yeah.
And 2 years after you try the whole tag team match at WrestleMania thing with Undertaker and it blows up, you're going to try it again, and it would have just blown up again. Instead, he gets probably
Thank
his
God
best Mania
for
match.
Randy Orton, man. Thank
to this point, at least. Yeah.
So, I mean, we get another qualifying match, John Cena against Rene Dupree. They wrestled again. That's fun.
Why did this need to be another match?
And then Cena's facing Kenzo again next week, and it's just like we were over the fall where he's just facing the same two guys over and over, and I'm not here for it. I'm ready for him to be champion and
yeah,
face different guys. Cena wins and qualifies for the Rumble, and then Kenzo takes him out. JBL tells his Big Show they're on the same page tonight because they're both out to get Kurt Angle. JBL says after Kurt apologizes, they should team up and destroy Kurt Angle. Then at the Royal Rumble, it's one-on-one between the two of them. Big Show says he'll consider it.
We got actually a solid match. Another brief high point. Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero. It's another Royal Rumble qualifier. Rey won after a 6-1-9. Pretty solid match between these two.
Yeah, no, that one was fine.
What you come to expect.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
And then Kurt Angle is coming out through the crowd. And he would like Joy Giovanni to come out. She came out to the stage and Kurt asked how she's doing. Said she's looking well. Kurt said that as an Olympic gold medalist, his competitive spirit is unparalleled. Last week forced him to do something that in hindsight was a terrible idea, which of course was kidnapping Joy. Also a federal crime. Angle said Joy seems like a nice woman and she was an innocent bystander, and he apologizes for causing any mental or physical anguish. Big Show then heads for the ring. Angle left and Big Show watched him from the ring. Angle said he's apologized already and he's facing with the Rumble and they can settle things then. But as he's leaving, JBL's music hits. JBL and the Cabinet come out. JBL said that Angle is going to get what he deserves, and so will he. They shook hands. Jindrak and Reigns came out. It's a setup.
Yeah.
It's a damn setup.
They'll just beat up
Big Show. Fought them off for a while, but then the numbers game wins out. They hit Big Show with the stairs, left him lying in the ring, and that was SmackDown.
I think the ending was good.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just certain parts in this show are just so lacking.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, SmackDown's going to get better, so that's good.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's just rough right now.
It really is.
Yeah. Is there a King of the Ring? I really don't know.
I mean,
is there really?
Edge got a big reaction. Speared Shawn Michaels.
God, that's not shit, man.
Stone Cold back with the company. He wasn't on TV.
It's cheap too. What? Whatever, man. Yeah, nobody deserves shit this week. I don't think anybody.
No, and not
it's this just week. It's a bleh week, you know. Nothing's really moving the fucking needle in this week in wrestling. It happened. So let's get to next week where we know shit's gonna pop off. Vince is gonna ruin his fucking quadriceps, and then we can all just laugh and have a good time. Gonna be a great retrospective. Does Bruce have a something about wrestling on that one?
Yes, I have to go listen to it again. Yeah, I listened to it a couple years ago, but. Yeah.
Let me run that back tonight. Good Lord. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Rob's at Rob on the 031. Tune in on Sunday. We will have your preseason WWE Top 25. And then coming up the week of Super Bowl week, we will have the first month, the rankings for January. You can only get that if you become a Patreon subscriber. $10 gets you everything, including summer sessions, which I'm very worried because Scott just tweeted the Tom Brenneman video. And that can mean a whole number of things. So we will wait and see what damage control I have to do. $10 on Patreon if you would like to help us out. Yeah. We'll also be back to talk about conference championship weekend on 2 Minute Drill next week. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck else to preview. I'm just gonna wait for the fire to happen. We'll be back next week. We'll talk Rumble. We'll talk the actual Rumble. Because that'll be next Sunday, and then we'll talk 2005.
Oh god, Rumble. We have one of the weeks where the pay per views overlap.
Yes, we do. It's gonna be a long one, so let's get it over with very quickly. Let's do our best to get it over with. Anyway, this has been Ruthless Aggression. You guys have a lovely week. We will see you guys next. We'll see you guys Sunday for the top 25 on Patreon. Take it easy.
Yep.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.